Welcome everybody to another thrilling episode of HomeKit Insider, the smart home podcast where we interestingly try to solve the murder of the itsy bitsy spider and her subsequent murder spree. I'm here with my pal, Stephen Robles. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. That intro shocked me. You don't run these intros. This is new. I've not heard this before. What murder mystery from the itsy bitsy spider has occurred? I'm not familiar with this.
Okay. When I originally had like an intro in my head that I just popped in there. I'm like, that's what I'm going to go with. I like it.
Sure. Okay.
And then I started looking up to make sure I had the words exactly right for like this nursery rhyme. And it's like, oh no, that one's about like blackface. I'm like, okay, let's not do that one. Nursery rhyme. And then I found a different one. It's like, oh, that one's also about like murder. And like, okay, what nursery rhyme isn't about murder?
Goodness.
So I chose like Itsy Bitsy Spider. And also, if you looked up that, it's like, oh, it used to be a song for adults. And it used to start with blooming bloody. So also maybe not great.
What is happening?
So we just learned, don't sing nursery rhymes. They're all racist and scary terrible. And murdery and who I knew, knows what. So
I know, what is it? Ring Around the Rosie, Pocketful. Like, I know that one has like, terrible connotations and very tragic. And then what is it? The baby in the cradle and it's like swinging around or whatever. What is that one?
I remember they did that.
Rock My Baby on the
tree. They showed that like on The Simpsons. Yeah, where they showed it on The Simpsons and it was so spooky and like Maggie is just rocking up in a tree like in the middle of like a dark October night or something. It's so creepy.
I think this means, here's what I've gathered from this intro, is that we should start writing HomeKit themed nursery rhyme, like a Rockabye Baby on the Home Pod. I can't think of anything else. I don't know. Listeners, write some, send us your best HomeKit nursery rhymes and we will read them live on the air. Okay. Don't make them too long. Make them more.
It means we'll only sing our baby rock songs and rap songs. And that way we'll avoid anything suggestive.
You'll be able to use this literally when you have a child and then you can sing HomeKit nursery rhymes to it. That's a great idea.
Perfect.
Keep them to like haiku length. Haiku length, listeners, not sonnets. Haiku.
Faith's gonna love this suggestion.
Yeah. she'll love it. Very cool. Well, we got a little bit of HomeKit news and some listener questions I'd like to get to because there were some good ones there, and you corrected me because I led a listener astray on Twitter. So we'll get to that. One 5-star review, Mark Setton from the Netherlands. He had been helping me with my Hue Sync playbox. So thank you, Mark. 5-star review. Now, some quick home products that have been announced or are coming soon. First of all is the Sensibo Air Quality Monitor. And we've talked about Sensibo before. I think they've had other monitors and stuff like that, but this is a new version. This one is going to be measuring all kinds of air quality, like not only temperature, humidity, carbon dioxide, but air quality, TVOC, things like that. But this thing is not inexpensive. This thing is like $170 now and possibly going up to $300 later. And I mean, I guess this is like a pretty serious air quality monitor, but man, I don't know if that's, that seems like a little high. Also, it has a micro USB port instead of USB-C. And so that's really the problem here, but I don't know, man. I mean, is this much air quality monitoring that worth it? I don't know.
I don't know. As much as I've tested out like air purifiers and stuff like that, and when I've mentioned this to other people, like I was talking to one of my friends about air purifiers and I was testing a few of them out, and he's like, oh, one of those cool things where it's like, we promise that we work. Like, because you almost like can't tell. Like for at home, like air quality monitors, you can barely tell a difference in like how an air purifier is working. Like it's running in your room, and unless you had an actual problem, you're just kind of assuming that these things are working. And when you have like air quality sensors and monitors, again, it's kind of hard to 100% like know. You have to like test it with like another air quality monitor. It's not something you can visually see. And when they're also super expensive. No air quality monitor has been cheap. I mean, any of the Eve ones, I can't think of the name, but I really like them.
It was the Akara. The Akara one is pretty inexpensive. It just does like TVOC or
that's
whatever.
Not bad.
Yeah.
No, yeah. But they definitely, they start to get super, super expensive the higher the sensors go. Right. And yeah, at this point, it's pretty high up there. I mean, it's a lot of stuff in there at once. Sure.
I don't know. So the Akari,
I don't know. I just can't get over you. The micro.
The micro USB is inexcusable. Why can't I spell
I stopped Akara? Reading after that because I'm like, I can't.
The Akara air quality monitor, it keeps auto-correcting to Aquaria. I don't know why it's doing that. Why are you doing that? Mac, stop auto-correcting my Akara. Okay, anyway. Let's see. The Akara one is $45, and it does the TVOC, which, listen, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what TVOC stands for. That is supposedly the air quality.
Total volatile organic compounds.
Oh,
dust and stuff in the air, I believe.
Dropping the knowledge. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Let's go with that.
I tested these.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, the Akara one, $45. And, you know, you do need the Akara hub if you wanted a home kit, but Akara's got some good stuff. We'll put a link to that one in the show notes. So that's that one. Also, SmartMe, they've actually announced a HomeKit humidifier. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we have many HomeKit humidifiers out on the market, but this one, very nice looking, I will say. You know, a little cylindrical device, has a little clear container for the water, and it is HomeKit compatible. Is this, have we had HomeKit humidifiers before? I can't remember.
Technically, yes. It's like a yes with an asterisk again, because okay. So the very first one was, I want to say Vocalink, and they had the one that had like the funnel that went up, but it was originally like an oil diffuser, but there isn't like an oil diffuser like category in HomeKit. Right. So it went under like humidifiers and technically worked the same way. And then when it was basically being sold as a small humidifier, they doubled down and they created the larger version that was actually supposed to be a humidifier. Did you ever try that one before, Steven?
The Vocalink, I did, yeah. I did have that one. Yeah.
The Cool Mist something.
Yes.
The problem with that one, like my wife was sick, a little sick, not anything bad, but it was very dry in the room, so we wanted to turn on the humidifier, and it just got everything wet. Like it comes out as a Cool Mist, then it just comes down. So we ended up having to like put it on the floor in a tray to like collect the water, because it was on like the nightstand and everything was moist and damp by the morning. And that,
yeah, I don't know about that.
That was frustrating. I don't even know how to properly set it or why that was happening. You wouldn't think that that would happen. So I'm looking at this one and I'm hoping it looks like a really great design. Like you said, I'm hoping it does a better job. It's a little bigger, a little taller, but it looks sleek.
Right.
I like it. I like that their promo images, though, are like outside. Like it's like this is like a rainforest. I'm like, oh, an outdoor humidifier. I will humidify my outdoor.
They went to the Rainforest Cafe for all the product shots. They just put it all over the restaurant. So it looks cool. It's coming soon. It's not available just yet, but it is HomeKit. So I might be interested in that humidifier. Depends how much it is. We'll see. Also,
I need a dehumidifier, Steven. Our basement can get a little, damp. It's not bad, but we want to be able to put like instruments down here kind of eventually. And you got to get that a little bit more under control. And there's no real HomeKit dehumidifier. It's a category. It's still product category. And I think there's like one. Maybe that's actually available, and I don't even know which one it is, and I'm pretty sure it's expensive.
I mean, I guess it would be nice if those kinds of humidifier or dehumidifier can also like test the air, so you like it could know when it needs to, like you can automate it, you know, if there's like a certain humidity level and it either dehumidifies or humidifies. But anyway, I would be curious what use cases, listeners, if you have a humidifier, you know, I think like guitars, like acoustic guitars and stuff, there's some instruments that actually you want a little bit of humidity for some of those things. And so, be curious if you guys have any use cases for that. And
according to the stores, like Target and Walmart and stuff, apparently you need them for babies. There is a whole, like, very large section of humidifiers for infants. Yes. So apparently that's a use case that people need to be aware of.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, if someone's not feeling well, sometimes humidifier can help a little bit. You know, if you have dry, whatever, but anyway, smart humidifier, smart me should be coming soon. Another new product, this is from Yale. Yale makes HomeKit locks and such. This one is super interesting. First of all, in their press release, I learned, this was new to me, apparently Yale has been around for over 180 years. 180 years. That's like 1800 style. You know what I mean? So I didn't realize they've been around for long, but I guess there's been door locks for a long time. I guess somebody had to have been making them.
Well, back. I mean, their original name was Ye Yale.
No, get
and
then at
as
it.
They got, they removed the Ye and it just became Yale.
That's
it was harder to say Ye Yale.
That's fake news. Okay, so Yale, the super old company, but they now have a Yale Assure Lock 2. This is a HomeKit door lock. Doesn't appear to have home key, unfortunately. So not the NFC home key, but it does have HomeKit. And it comes in various models. You can get a touchscreen number pad. So if you want to be able to do the number pin pad to unlock, you can get it as a touchscreen or physical buttons. So you can get touchscreen or keypad, physical buttons. Comes in three different colors. And you can also get it keyed or key free. So I guess if you don't even want like a keyhole on the outside of your house, you can just get the number pad and literally not have any key available. So I guess, you know, it limits the ability for someone to pick it, I guess. Like there's no lock to pick. So there's just literally no key on the outside. It looks really nice, but $160 for the key free version for the physical buttons, $180 for the touchscreen key free. And then I was same prices for the touchscreen or physical buttons. Keyed is $160, key free. What is happening? No, I'm sorry. Touchscreen is $180. Physical buttons is $160. And you can buy it now. What do you think about this, Andrew?
I like these a lot. They're definitely slimmer, like 30% smaller than the last generation Assure Lock. They look really nice. They have, I believe, a few different finishes for them. Mm-hmm. I personally like the touchpad versions. I think they look nice. I would lean towards like the keyless version. I like the lack of keys. It's like they're smaller and it's a very slim looking, small, compact, like deadbolt replacement. And for the people wondering how you get in if the battery dies.
Right.
You have to have a 9-volt battery around somewhere. Scroll one away, I guess. Keep it in your car. There's two metal contacts on the bottom. You just touch it with the battery and that gives the battery like the power for you to unlock it with your key code. So you do get alerts that your battery's dying, all that stuff to like remind you, but by using a battery, you can provide it emergency power if it should ever die, so you can still get into your house.
I was wondering what those two little metal contacts were on the bottom of the keyless, key-free model. Interesting. That's a smart workaround. It's like Yale thought of this, like 180 years of experience of giving them some wisdom in the
absolutely. Home.
Wow, that's awesome. This does look really nice. For me personally, I just want home key. Like I'm kind of, if I'm going to upgrade my lock and do the whole rigmarole of uninstalling a physical lock, put it in a smart one, I kind of want home key. I mean, do you feel the same way? I mean, would you go to something non-home key enabled?
I don't think so. I've stuck with the level lock for the moment. I do want home key. I think that would be the next kind of thing I'd like to see in most of these. I don't know. I don't know what the holdup is, really. There's locks with NFC. Level has NFC. Right. Others have NFC. And like companies like Akara are out there getting home key certifications left and right for like six different locks, but no one else in the market is doing it. So I don't know if there's no interest from consumers or manufacturers or what it is. But yeah, I'd like to see that in some locks.
I like to see that. You almost started making a nursery rhyme there. You said, I'd like to see the next lock have home key. This is great. I think this is a new market right here. Listen, those kids videos on YouTube, you know, when they have like little kid songs, like Five Little Monkeys, millions of views. The parents just play that thing on loop. Listen.
Five little home pods sitting on a dresser.
Million views. Immediately a million views.
Perfect.
We'll start a new channel, HomeKit Nursery Rhymes. Andrew, I think this is going
to
be big.
You have to wear brightly colored turtlenecks, block colored turtlenecks.
right.
Oddly tight pants. And then you just bounce around singing these songs.
This is brilliant, Andrew. I think we should do it. Listeners, you'll get some writing credit. I can't make any promises over there. We'll see. We have to consult our lawyers on this. We're going to patent it before the show goes live. All right. I want to talk about some updates to 16.1 in relation to speakers and AirPlay. But before we do, I'd like to thank our good friends at Collide. Collide is K-O-L-I-D-E. Traditional endpoint security tools can make your workplace feel like a surveillance state. And we're going to talk about Ring in a second. Oh, sorry. Turn users and the IT team into adversaries and ultimately drive your employees to work on unsecured personal devices. But it doesn't have to be this way. Collide is a device security solution built around honest security. Their philosophy is that employees aren't your biggest security risk. They're your biggest allies, and your relationship with them should be based on transparency and consent. Collide works by notifying your employees of security issues via Slack and giving them step-by-step instructions on how to resolve them themselves. Andrew, I feel like I would almost like this feature, but for my family, like if they try to like set a password that's password 123, that Collide sends them a message in a channel and says, hey, don't do that. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll head off all of those IT tech questions that I'm sure so many of us get.
Collide, that's another product idea for you. Do Collide, but for also families. Collide for the workplace, Collide for families. But there it is. But listen, for IT and security teams, Collide provides the right level of visibility for Mac, Windows, and Linux devices, and it can answer questions about your fleet's security that traditional mobile device managers can't. So you can meet your security goals without compromising your values. Visit collide.com/homekit to find out how. And if you follow that link, it'll hook you up with a goodie bag just for activating a free trial. Free trial, free goodie bag. That's Collide, collide.com/homekit. The link is in the show notes, of course, so you can visit them there. Our thanks to Collide for sponsoring this episode. Now, there's a finding, supposedly, in the 16.1 betas. The betas have been updated on iPad and iPhone. Lots of little features, little battery icon. You know what? As an aside, too, Andrew, what do you think of that battery percentage? Apple is now in 16.1. Made it so you can put the battery percentage number in the icon that everybody was loving. But some people didn't like that the battery icon was full with the number and like it was full all the way till like 20%. And now in 16.1, the little battery icon is going to tick down, like decrease that battery fill line, and you can have the number there. What are your professional opinion on the battery icon number and fill line? What say you?
I'm just saying, Stephen, do you ever step back and realize this is a job? Like, we're analyzing a beta of software battery icon that visually changes percentage. There's so much has been written about the battery status.
Tweet threads, thought pieces, videos.
I agree with the, I did not like that it stayed full the entire time, because sometimes I wouldn't try to read I wouldn't try to read a number. I would just glance at it, and it always looked like it was more full than it was. And then oddly, it would go from like 100 to 20%. As soon as you drop below the 20% threshold, it would turn red, and you're now in like your lower percentage there.
Right.
I didn't like that.
Nope.
I preferred visually seeing it like just that much. Now with this, I think this is a better compromise. You get both going on at the same time. Plus, it's coming to smaller devices, like the minis now can have, which was for some reason a limitation. Like Apple, we don't have smaller fonts. I can't go smaller.
Right. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Breaks the branding guidelines. Anyway, I don't put the battery percentage in the icon. That's all I have to say about it. So it doesn't affect me. It gives me anxiety. I don't want to see 91%. I don't need to see that. Just give me the icon.
I like that because I would go and check. Like I'd see like a rough number, you know, you're sitting around 30, like, wait, am I closer to 40 or closer to 20? So I just like pop down control center.
Right.
Just like a little bit just to see what it was. Yeah. Now you don't have to, especially with the always on. It's not a thing. I can just see it all the time and I can see the number and now visually. So
exactly.
I'm good with it.
Oh, well, that's not actually the 16.1 feature I wanted to do. This has now been uncovered in 16.1, where you can permanently group multiple HomePods as a, you know, not just a stereo pair, but maybe if you have three HomePods in a room, it looks like in 16.1, you know, if you play audio, you play a podcast, you can select as many speakers as you would like. So you can play it on a HomePod pair and a single HomePod and it'll play, but it's temporary. So if you leave the house or stop playing it and then want to play again, you have to select those multiple speakers in the control center. The most you could pair in a permanent group are two HomePods as a stereo pair. It looks like in 16.1, you'll be able to group multiple HomePods more than just a stereo pair. So let's say you have a stereo pair by your TV, but then you also have a HomePod, I don't know, on the other side of the room, like because it's the kitchen. And so you got the stereo pair by the TV, then you got another one in the kitchen. And if you ever want to play something, you always want it playing on all three of those at the same time. It seems like 16.1 will allow you to group those three permanently together. So when you play something and choose those speakers, you don't have to check multiple. It can just be, you know, one single group. Unknown if this will be available to non-HomePod speakers like Sonos, but I'm really, really hoping for that. I'm not sure how it would work because Sonos speakers, they do show up in the Home app, kind of, but it's not, you don't get this, all the same kind of controls. And I would love, like in my patio area, which we've talked about, I have a pair of Sonos One SLs that I have, you know, two of them set up as a stereo pair. And then I also got that Sonos Move that will move to like the opposite side of the pool if people are swimming, and then you can hear everything in the patio. I would love to group those three together, my two Sonos One SLs and the Sonos Move, as a single speaker group so I can just send it to that. But unclear if that will be a thing. Is this a feature that you would utilize? Would you hope for this? You like this?
I don't think there's any that I have that I'd actually like to permanently group. Maybe in my studio, because I end up having a lot of speakers, whether I'm testing them or just like
right.
they end up here because there's only so many rooms in the house that you can stick new speakers. But yeah, I'd probably put like I end up not using the name Muso in my studio as much as I should because I just talk to the HomePod and start things off. So I could group that HomePod and the Muso too together as a group, and I could talk to the HomePod but play through both of them every time. That would probably be an ideal situation because that's a much better speaker. So you're almost being able to get like the smart speaker capabilities with a other, you know, non like Siri enabled speaker, basically. So I could see that. Yeah. They say that both HomePods and AirPlay 2 speakers would qualify for this. I could see it working with Sonos and others, but this isn't even like visually you can see. They're going through and analyzing code to do this. 9-5 Mac is the one that compared the code in the betas to like a 16 release and uncovered just a few strings of text that are alluding to these features. So it's not even something we can visually see in the Home app in this beta. Right. So this is all borderline speculation. Who knows if it seems like it's likely in development. Whether or not it arrives in 16.1 or 16.2 remains to be seen. So we'll keep an eye on it and we'll see if anything pops up in the next beta within the next couple weeks, most likely next beta, depending on when you listen to this.
Now, I don't spend a lot of time in the Sonos app because but does Sonos give you the ability to group multiple Sonos speakers in one? So I could do like my patio One SL and the Sonos Move. I could supposedly put all that together. And
I think so.
See, I can do a stereo pair. I'm looking in the app right now. I'll have to look around. I'll do so. This will be follow up for next week. And if any Sonos out there, Sonos owners out there, tongue twister, we can do another baby nursery rhyme for Sonos. Sonos speakers, let me know if that's something that you do and it actually works. And yeah, I'd like to know. But anyway, I'd like this feature.
I think I've tried it before. You can definitely group, assign them to a group or a room and stuff like that. I have not played around with it that much, so I couldn't walk you through the steps, but I'm 90% sure that that's a thing in the Sonos.
Okay. All right. I'll poke around over the week and we'll try it out. Home security. So this is interesting. I did not realize that Amazon was doing this. Apparently Amazon and Ring, they've been a regular occurring topic on this show. Amazon announced that it was going to produce a reality show. And the premise of this was going to be comedian Wanda Sykes commenting on viral video clips shared from Ring home security cameras. The show was called Ring Nation. And it's set to premiere on September 26th. So actually, as you listen to this episode, it might premiere today, Monday the 26th. And this show, again, it's showing clips. You know, people share their Ring videos to social media because they funny things. Like, I see a lot of these on, I watch Fail Army videos. I don't know if everyone, I just gave them a shout out, but I watch Fail videos. Me and the kids, we like seeing Fail videos. And there's a lot of Fail videos where you see like the Ring branding on the thing, like everybody sharing their doorbell stuff. And so this reality show is, again, this comedian commenting on those clips that were already shared to social media. So it's not like they're garnering video footage without having permission or whatever. Like, these videos are public, you know, they're probably on YouTube or social media or whatever, but there's a whole advocacy group saying that this is not good. There's 40 privacy and racial justice groups. They signed an open letter demanding MGM Studios cancel the show because the show risks normalizing and promoting Amazon Ring's dangerous network of surveillance cameras and could put vulnerable communities at heightened privacy risks. That is an interesting point because, you know, you sharing a short clip of your Ring camera on social media or whatever is one thing, even if it goes viral, you know, let's say it gets thousands of views. That's one thing. They have like a legitimate TV show that will exist for as long as Amazon keeps it on its streaming service, and the entire show is clips of this stuff. I don't know, man. What do you think about this? This is an interesting premise.
I don't know. Like you said, it's not as bad as them, like, you know, pulling footage and doing stuff with it, whatever. Like, it is viral clips going around. So it sounds like almost like a cringy product marketing version of AFV, right? Like, right. That's what it is. I mean, talk about integration of brands. You've got Ring, which is owned by Amazon. This is going to play on Amazon Prime, and it's being produced by MGM, the studio that Amazon purchased. Right. So it's like, you know, across the board, it's just Amazon going to town here. And I don't know. I think it's weird. I don't particularly like it. It sounds like a product integration idea that plays on Sundays on TV and it lasts for like a season. Maybe that's what this will be, just on Amazon Prime. But I can't see a bunch of people like tuning in. Oh yeah, I gotta see the latest episode of Ring Nation. And see an Amazon worker trip and they drop an Amazon package. Like, how many of these videos are going to be Amazon deliveries, like going right or something? Right. And then I don't know.
I mean, it is an incredible marketing tool, because if someone wanted there to be on the show, you know, like America, like I remember, I don't know, you're younger than I believe, but I used to watch America's Funniest Home Videos when I was a kid. And back in that day, I guess you would mail a VHS tape or 8mm. I don't even know how. I mean, we didn't have internet. So you had to like mail.
You mailed a tape. You mailed a tape. I don't think I'm that much younger than you that I don't. Didn't see AFV when I was a kid.
Was it Bob Saget? Was he doing
it? How young do you think I am, and how old do you think you are?
I am ancient, and you're at least 21. But anyway, I think, so I remember watching those clips when I was a kid, and there was like this sense of, I would love to do something or have a video that airs on the show. Like it was actually a chance, one of the few opportunities, at least then, before the internet, to have something you created shown to the nation. You know, everybody watched America's Funniest Home Videos back then. And so I do think it is an interesting marketing tactic to say Ring Nation, like this implication that Ring is the doorbell camera for America, you know, cue eagle calling and like flapping its wings, you know, Ring Nation. And, you know, I think maybe it would encourage people when they think about, I want a doorbell camera. Well, if I have a funny clip, it could end up on that show. I don't, you know, it depends how big or popular that show would be.
And it only works if there's a Ring watermark on your video footage. If you got that footage from a Natatmo camera, you are disqualified.
If my Logitech Circle View doorbell catches, I don't know, some Amazon guy tripping and falling, I guess that won't be admitted into the show. I don't know. That would be curious,
I don't know about you, Steven, when you were watching AV and wanting to be on it, if your immediate thought process, mine was, oh, for sure, we should just fake this. Like, you're not going to set up a camera and wait for somebody to get hit in the balls by a baseball. You're going to set up a camera,
you're going to
throw it at them.
You're going to say, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you just get a Ring doorbell, and then you trip and fall holding a bottle of tar and a box of feathers, and you're like, oh, no. I've got feathers all over me.
A bottle of tar.
Because you slipped on a banana peel.
Can you get a bottle of tar? Can you get a bottle of tar on Amazon?
For sure. You're doing a home repair. Yeah. And you're also
on a ladder.
Your own down pillows to save money. And at the same time, and your family member just got home with a pile of bananas and dropped one. And oh my gosh, you've got the classic setup for covered in feathers and banana peel something. Like
Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events or something. What was the that's
exactly. Hopefully not a Final Destination movie.
Oh no, yeah, we don't want that on a Ring. If you search for bottle of tar on Amazon, you get a bunch of North Carolina gear. The UNC Carolina Tar Heels. That's all you get.
Okay.
Can't get a bottle of tar, unfortunately. But anyway,
I siphoned it from a local road job down here. I just got a small area to tar in my bag. I'm like, hey, can I borrow a bottle of tar? You know, like you go into the neighbor for a cup of sugar.
Yeah, bottle of tar.
Go to your local road crew. Hey, can I get a bottle of tar?
Everybody's got it
real quick.
Everybody bottle of tar. Anyway, I will probably not be watching this show, but if any listeners tune in, let us know what you think. It might be on Amazon on Monday, September 26th. Ring Nation. That sounds like a Mission Impossible sequel too. Like Mission Impossible 7, Ring Nation. Like Rogue Nation, Ring Nation.
It's just Mission Impossible filmed entirely through Ring cameras.
That's it. All you see is Tom Cruise flying across the screen in a bunch of different clips.
Yeah,
it's Ring Nation.
Well, I mean, of course, because they have the neighborhood feature, so they have the entire neighborhood. They can just cut through the cameras as he's driving down the road, just because every house has a ring.
That'd be a good commercial. Don't take that idea, Amazon. That was too good of an idea. Don't do it. All right, I want to get to a couple other follow-ups and listener questions. Before we do, I want to thank, my bathrooms. It's not my bathroom sponsor, because I bought a lot of this stuff. How would I call it? My bathroom theme? I don't know, but it's Nebbia. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. My goodness, if you've listened to this show for more than one episode, you've heard my love for Nebbia. I have their towels, their quick dry earth mat. I have the shower heads. Everything is by the shower shelves. But listen, here's the deal. Nebbia shower heads, they save up to 45% of water, but its spray is 81% more powerful than the competition. So you can actually save water all while getting a better shower experience. It's like a spa. The Nebbia by Moen spa shower, you can raise and lower it. It's height adjustable. Install it in less than 15 minutes. And you get the little magic wand. So you have like the magic wand and the shower head. Or you can even get the Quattro. I really like the Quattro shower head. You actually have multiple settings and they have that high pressure setting. That's what I'm about. It's really nice. I know you've tried some Nebbia stuff too, right, Andrew? You like the Nebbia?
Yeah, I have the Nebbia by Moen spa shower. That's which is great. It just makes the entire shower warm, which is a crazy thing.
Yes.
That you go to another shower and you're like, why is it cold everywhere that's not under the water? And that's not a problem. The Nebbia by Moen spa shower, just warm everywhere in there. It's like you're literally at a spa. And it's delightful. And it's height adjustable, easy to install in like 30 seconds. And like a cool magnetic thing. Who doesn't love magnets?
Exactly. It's not MagSafe. It's a magnet. And it's still very nice.
I got to test this right now.
Oh, you know what? I would actually be curious. I might have to test that. I wonder if it would hold a phone. Play a podcast in there. Your phone is water resistant. Anyway, that's not part of this sponsorship. don't do that. That's not on Nebbia. We'll report back on next week. But anyway, the Nebbia by Moen showers come in four finishes, white and chrome, spot resistant nickel. That's what I got. Matte black, black and chrome. And again, I really encourage you, if you're going to get one Nebbia thing, obviously get the Nebbia by Moen spa shower. But the second thing, that quick dry earth mat, I still love mine. It's amazing. And I've had people tweet at me like, what's that thing you talked about? The quick dry earth mat has diatomaceous earth. Andrew taught me that word. Okay. Diatomaceous. So anyway, the Nebbia.
And TVOC.
The Nebbia by Moen spa shower starts at just $199. And for HomeKit Insider listeners, we have a deal. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Use the promo code HomeKit, all one word, at checkout to get 10% off all Nebbia products. The quick dry earth mat, the towels, everything. Nebbia, they've partnered with us for a long time. It's a great deal to jump on. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Check out what they have to offer and save 10% with promo code HomeKit. And we'll have a nursery rhyme for that too. Rockabye Nebbia. I gotta workshop these, Andrew. Okay, I'm gonna do some listener questions. I know I'd said this saga was over, but I made a really troubling discovery that I had been a little foolish with the Hue sync box in my home theater for a long time. Number one, I did find an HDMI splitter that supports CEC controls and Dolby Atmos. If listeners don't remember, listen to the last like three or four episodes, been this saga, trying to get my Hue sync box to sync the lights, but not be in the chain of signals so it doesn't mess with Dolby Atmos, all that kind of stuff. So I'll put a link in the show notes to a splitter that supports CEC, HDMI control, and Dolby Atmos. Vision, Dolby Atmos, and everything was working great. Honestly, like the splitter was great. Everything worked. This was also Mark Asetin's advice. But I then had to sneeze. No, then I realized, Andrew, I don't need to be berated over this because I already kicked myself. Okay. I realized that my Denon receiver has two HDMI outputs. And so I don't know why of all the solutions, I did not think of that first. So my receiver is a two zone system where you can have, there's two HDMI outs. They both support 4K and all that. And I only have one TV it's connected to. And so there was an open HDMI port out there. And so after making this troubling realization, I took the splitter out of the chain. All I had to do was go out of output two on my receiver directly into the Hue sync box. No splitter needed, nothing in the chain. And it works great. I have CEC control. I didn't even need the splitter. And yeah. So if you have a receiver with two HDMI outs, you could just connect the sync box to that. And then all the inputs get the sync box. You don't need a splitter. I could have saved myself five episodes of trouble. So anyway, that's all. I just wanted to mention that. And I know it's ridiculous.
Half of this episode has been spent with my head in my hand.
I don't know why.
Just
I did
shaking
not,
my head.
I don't know why I didn't think of it. I never used the second port for anything before. And so it just was not in my mind as an option. And anyway, it works great. So,
oh, Steven.
And that was ridiculous. So anyway, that is a true conclusion to the SyncBox saga. I will put a link to a splitter that works with all the CEC stuff if you need a splitter. But if your receiver has two HDMI outs and you're not using the second one, just put the second one in the SyncBox. That's all you got to do. I would have saved myself weeks of trouble. Anyway, let's do some listener questions because I feel a little bad about that one. Listener questions, you've been sending some good ones. Aaron Sapp on Twitter, he was asking, what is your recommendation for a HomeKit light switch? So here's the prerequisites. HomeKit light switch doesn't require a hub or a neutral wire. He said, I don't need dimming, just simple on-off, ideally Wi-Fi only. This is a difficult set of prerequisites to recommend something. As soon as you throw in the can't require a neutral wire, you have basically Lutron, but that's a hub. So eliminates Lutron. There are some Akara switches that don't require a neutral wire, but that also requires a hub. So that eliminates that. Leviton doesn't require a hub, is Wi-Fi, but you need a neutral wire. So that didn't work. Which Leviton doesn't require a neutral wire? Because I looked this up as I was trying to respond to him.
The new ones that we just covered. Okay, maybe it's not super new. Here's an article. Mr. Steven. They had just recently launched new ones, the Decora Smart, no neutral, dimmer, no hub, I believe is necessary.
I thought the bridge was necessary for, is a neat way to bring HomeKit-enabled smart lighting to older homes with the Decora Smart, switch, dimmer, and required Wi-Fi bridge. See, that required a bridge. That's why I didn't mention it.
Okay.
You see, so that's a hub.
Wow, see?
It's difficult.
I can think their
switches that I have don't require a hub, and they are Wi-Fi, but they do require neutral. The Decora
line. Too much stuff. They do too many commercial
things.
They
got a lot of ones.
It's so difficult
to
track things down.
So,
yeah,
my answer to Aaron, one of the few that I could find that don't require a hub or a neutral wire. Now, it is a dimmer switch, but the new Wemo dimmer with thread. This was the new Wemo dimmer. We had been waiting for it for months. It launched over the summer. The new Wemo dimmer actually does not require a neutral wire, which is rare. All the previous Wemo switches and dimmers did require a neutral, but the new Wemo dimmer that has like the two-button design does not require a neutral, does not require a hub either. It is Bluetooth/thread. So you do need to have at least a HomePod mini or an Apple, like a newer Apple TV that has thread built in, but you don't need a hub. You don't need a neutral wire. You want it on off. You didn't need dimming, but this was, I think, the only switch I could find that met all the requirements, or at least most of them. And especially because that no neutral one is usually the non-negotiable. If you don't have a neutral wire in your house, you can't do anything about that. And if you don't
want to be one of those, it's going to be either the neutral or the hub.
Right.
It's going to be one of those. So something has to give. I don't know if there's an exact one that meets this then.
Right. There's not an exact one that meets all of it, but he was happy with the Wemo dimmer suggestion because it didn't require a neutral or a hub. And with thread, you know, that's going to be pretty good connectivity. Otherwise, like 9 times out of 10, I would have recommended Lutron. It does require the hub, but you don't need a neutral wire. You can get all the different kinds of switches, on, off, dimmers, ceiling control fans. and they're just rock solid. And they got the new designs now, which is really nice. Works with the same hub, the Lutron one. So that would have been my typical suggestion, but the Wemo dimmer, no neutral required. Now, Dov Frankel on Twitter asked this question. He said, this weekend I lost power to my house, but was still able to interact with my August lock using their app. In a future driven by HomeKey, will that be a possibility? I didn't try locking or unlocking through HomeKit, but pretty sure it wouldn't work. Now me, I replied, if it had HomeKey, I would think NFC still works because it's direct phone to lock. But then you replied that just regular HomeKit locks would probably work without power either. So explain that to me, Andrew. Do you have experience?
Yeah. So when you're looking at HomeKit, pretty much a lot of stuff is done locally. And your home hub is required for the automation aspect of things and the remote access of things. So when you're at your house, you wouldn't need a home hub at all if you wanted to control your devices. As long as you're within range, you can connect to your phone or connect to your network, you'd be good to go. Automations wouldn't run because it needs a home hub to do those. But so in this case, the power of the house is out. So there's no power of the house. There's no home hubs, anything like that. Door lock, it's going to be battery powered. So you still have direct connection to that. August connect over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, depending on the one he has, but it would have been likely a Bluetooth connection for HomeKit. So he's there at his home. It's going to be able to communicate through the home app. It'll connect to that accessory directly. So a good example of this is people who have like their travel HomeKit kits.
Right.
They have they spend a lot of time in hotel rooms. And I've seen people literally like pack a mini suitcase that has all their smart home devices, like bulbs and stuff like that, because they want to be able to adjust the color and wake up with those things, stuff like that. They also work completely locally, no Wi-Fi required for those accessories. Your power's out, you're still going to be, and you're at your home, you're still going to get notifications for a Bluetooth contact sensor opening, all of those things. So yeah, whether you have HomeKey or a traditional just Bluetooth smart lock, it's still going to be able to operate even if your home does not have power.
Well, there you go. So I learned something new there. That was good. Thank you, Andrew. One last question. This is from Jonah Sachs on Twitter. Been searching for a HomeKit device that has the ability to control IR devices, specifically a certain fan. Bought the Akara P2 hub, but that doesn't seem to allow the control within the home app. Is there anything else you'd recommend? This is a difficult question as far as IR blasters, wanting to control IR stuff. My initial thought was the SwitchBot Hub Mini is an IR blaster. You can program it to control lots of different devices. I've used it to control like home theater stuff and other IR devices, but it is not in the home app. You can do shortcuts and you can program it in the shortcuts app, but not directly in the home app. So it gets you kind of a step closer, but not very far. It is also only $39, so it's pretty affordable for an IR blaster and a hub. And if you want to use the other SwitchBot products, we've talked about them before, like little robot fingers and stuff. Those are pretty cool. But as far as IR blasters, do you have any other ideas for them? I wasn't sure of any other.
Not natively. I know you can do this through Homebridge. I've seen that stuff. There's, I'm pretty sure, like a Raspberry Pi adapter or third-party ones that just tie right into Homebridge and then can show in the home app. But then you got to go that the whole Homebridge route, which if you're up for that, it's a solution. But you do have to have that Homebridge running the entire time and then find the device that works through Homebridge. So there's ones that do that, but not anything that's like natively HomeKit.
Right. So I would say if you're willing to try something that's not natively HomeKit, but is an IR blaster and works with Siri shortcuts, try out the SwitchBot Hub Mini. It can control lots of IR devices. So worth a try, I think. So thanks for those questions this week. Keep them coming. You can tweet at Andrew and myself. Those questions are, or our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Tweet us your questions and your HomeKit nursery rhymes. I would really like to read some HomeKit nursery rhymes live on the air. Yeah? No? What do you think, Andrew? I thought that'd be fun. Maybe?
It'll be something.
It'll be something. You can also give us a 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts and check out youtube.com/HomeKit Insider to watch the show there. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.